Thank the Lord this morning for an opportunity to be here in this little meeting. Haven't been here in a while. I understand Brother Marty hasn't either. So it's a joy. Think a little bit. I don't want to take too much time because I can get long-winded, unfortunately. I love the Word of the Lord, and I can get lost in it. I mean, it keeps getting bigger and bigger. But we had a sister in our congregation that was going through a trial, and she was reading in the Word, and she came across a little portion of a verse that really spoke to me and really helped me, and it had to do with joy. And I believe it said that He was a helper of our joy. And she took it in a way that she would help others to have joy, but I took it that God was going to help me with my joy. And He does help us with our joy. It is very seldom that I preach a same message twice. And I didn't come here intending to do that, and so I have to ask those from our congregation to pray for me. It's just, I don't know, especially in front of our congregation. Well, it's a burden on my heart, and the Lord has enlarged it somewhat. It's where we're living, and I feel like that, especially for our young people, well, it is for us all, but our young people, you know, we look at them and we say, they're passing through things that we never faced. And yet the scripture says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So whatever generation we are of, we have faced something that has been a test to our faith and our consecrations and to our zeal, to our determination. It doesn't matter if there is another generation that comes into this world, which we don't know. It could be several generations, but whatever generation comes, God's grace is sufficient. But we are in this world. And so, yes, it is the message of last Sunday morning. And I desire your prayers that the Lord will anoint it. Because without the inspiration of the Lord, you know, who are we? What are we? But I started out last Sunday with a thought, part of a verse, a song that's familiar to us all. And it is, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." It says, "My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Do you feel like you're a part of this world? We are in this world, but we must not be of this world. And I hope that we will strive to not be a part of this world, a party to this world. You know what that word party means? Taking part. We don't want to be a party to this world. So I'm looking at the 11th chapter of Hebrews and looking at verses 8 through 10 and then the last part of 13 through 16. We're speaking here about, we call this the roll call. It's a title in my Bible, the roll call of heroes of faith. And I'm going to say this, that you are going to have faith to finish your race in this world. And you're going to have a determination as never before. I'm going to say this just to start out with, is that the devil knows his time is short. Someone said on Wednesday night, we had a wonderful little prayer meeting Wednesday night. I thank the Lord for it, but Sister Irma, She got up and she says, I want to give everybody a challenge that between now and next Wednesday night, we won't give any conversation to the devil. Well, sounded real good, but I want to tell you, I think we're all going to have something to do with the devil, because he's in this world and he knows his time is short, and he is doing everything he can in whatever. You know, he will work from this end of the pole to that one. He'll either crush you down or he'll try to lift you up. And everywhere in between, that's his purpose. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So you're going to have something to do with the devil this week. I'm going to have something to, not that we choose to, but he is in the world. He is of the world. He is the prince of this world. He even came to Jesus. And it called him the prince of the world. And Jesus said, the prince of the world cometh and findeth what? Nothing in me. So it's a fight. We must fight. So these characters of heroes of faith in their age, we might look back at a certain period of our history, of our nation, and we'd say, oh, I wish I lived then. I wish I lived in the pioneers' time. I wish I went in a covered wagon to Oregon. Well, I want to tell you, it may look like drama right now, looking at it and reading about it, but they had the devil too. No generation is going to escape. And so Abraham, he left a place in which he didn't know where he was going. And he followed the Lord anyway. We're going to paraphrase some of this to save a little bit of time. Verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Well, I think that's the mindset we need today. We need to be living in this world, but having our eyes set on our heavenly goal every day. We can't afford to lose sight of where we're headed. He called it a strange country. I feel like I'm in a strange country. Do you? I told the congregation last Sunday that I feel like I'm in a foreign land. But I remember the first time I felt that way, and it was the year when Brother Hargrave died. Lauren and I went down to Miami for his funeral. And we get down there and stop to get directions, maybe at a McDonald's or something, and they couldn't speak English. So we had to go on until we found someone that could give us directions. But I want to tell you something. That's when I felt like I was in a foreign country. And since that time, I have been in foreign countries, and their language and my language wasn't the same, and I don't know what they're saying, and they may not know what I'm saying. But that's where we are. We can go to the store today and probably hear several different languages in our land today and not know what they're saying. So we are in a strange country. But they were looking for a city whose foundation was a different foundation. And it was the builder of it was God. And I think that we need our vision set this morning on where we're really headed. And if we skip on down, I have to read this one. It's just too important. I didn't really write it down, but verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. You're going to die in the faith even if you don't receive the promise or the healing or the answer to your prayer? You're going to still have faith. You're going to still believe. That's what these did. They died in faith. But they were persuaded of them and embraced them. And look at the last part of 13. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And I had to look up some of these definitions. A stranger, you might say, well, I know what a stranger is, but I like to give definitions. It is one that is of a different class or character. Does that ring a bell? When you go out among the people and you find yourself different, you find yourself being a spectacle, is it going to affect you? Is it going to affect me? And then what do? We come among the saints and we fit. We may not fit in the world because we are a stranger in the world. But how wonderful it is to come among the saints and to feel that love and unity and the Spirit flowing with us. Isn't that wonderful? Well, a stranger is also a foreigner, and a stranger is one that is not a party to, just as I said, doesn't take part in the ways of that setting where they are. And then a pilgrim, when we use the word pilgrim, we're probably thinking, of the pilgrims that came from England for religious freedom. Well, in one degree, that is sort of a definition, but it also says one who journeys to a sacred place from religious motives. Now, we have a scripture that has been preached on numerous times down through the years, and it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And you and I need a vision now of why and where we're going and for what reason. We've heard the gospel. We've heard the saving grace. We've heard the things that will point us to our heavenly home. I want to see him face to face, don't you? So you're a pilgrim this morning. If you're traveling, if you're on a journey to a sacred place because of your convictions and the preached word and the word of God has given to us a challenge that we have a place to go. So we are pilgrims and strangers. Jesus was not of this world. He was in this world, but he was not of it. And he said that his kingdom was not of this world. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, then they would fight. They would fight for me. But my kingdom is somewhere else. So this world was not where his kingdom was, although his kingdom is here, unseen by the world, but seen by godly people. We can see the kingdom of God here. In James, the fourth chapter, there is a scripture there that speaks about the friendship of the world. It says it is enmity with God. If I find myself being drawn to the world, and I find myself fitting somewhat in the world, then I am putting myself in a place of being an enemy to God. The scripture says it in that chapter, in that verse rather. It says those, and this is my words, those who have friendly feelings and inclinations to the world are actually an enemy of God. So I have to guard my friendships. Yes, I want to be a friend. I want to be a help to anyone in the world, but I don't want to allow my inclinations to reach out to the things of the world. Then we go to 1 John, the second chapter, and the start at verse 15. Very familiar scripture. What does it say? We could all quote it. Love not the world. And it says that if we love the world, another reference on that says, if any man love the world, the love for the Father is not in him. Now, the way it says here, it sounds like the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I understand the difference there, but it really relates to me if I use the word for. The love that I have for God is not. That's what's so important. I've got to have a love for him and for his word and his way, his church, his people. All of these things have got to be uppermost in my heart, for my desires, my affections, the seat of my heart needs to be reaching out to those things of above, not the things of the earth. And we're going to use that scripture too. But love not the world. So what is the world? Well, we certainly know that it is not the beautiful world that we look out these windows and see. That does not impact my spiritual life to draw me away to sin. It actually promotes God in me to see his creation. It inspires us to look at what God has created for mankind. And so we know that we can answer that and we can say, no, that is not the world. Although it is called the world because he created it. In verse 15, it says the same. We left out a little part, see? And it says, love not the things of the world. And it says, then if a man loves the world, then the love for the Father is not in him. And then verse 16, it goes on a little bit farther and it says, for all that is in the world, and then it tells us what we are to be aware of, that our affections and our desires can go out to and be the part that is can damn our souls. We need to keep all of this in perspective and in balance. Because, you know, there is a theory, there are influences of the world about our trees. Oh, they're alive. You don't want to cut down a tree. It's not balanced. It's not balanced for them to try to preserve some kind of little beetle. Any of these kind of things that they think is extinct, you know, that is part of the world. So we do need to keep it all in balance. We don't want to get off on a tangent of worshiping nature or worshiping the creature more than the creator and those kind of things. We don't want to fall into that. But it says for you and me to not love the world, and for you and me to be aware of what is in the world that will harm my spiritual soul and my walk. And then it tells us exactly what it is. And it is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then it plainly says, this is not of the Father, this is of the world. So now I know when I'm to be on my guard and watch for that I not fall and fail in my spirit. Now, when we speak of this kind of love, it's a different kind of love than what you feel for your companion or your child or your loved one. It has something to do with it, but not in that context. And so this love is simply a deep devotion or affection. We can get out of balance in our love and our affections and our desires. And it is to have a great interest or enjoyment. Now, I believe that the Lord wants us to enjoy what he has created. I know he does. He provides all things for us. But yet he doesn't want our enjoyment or our interest or our pleasure or our delight to go to those things of the world that will blight my soul. So there is a scripture also that says, seek those things that are above and not the what? Things of the earth. And then there's another scripture that says, set your affections on what? Things above. So things are in both of those scriptures and not on things of the earth. So there's something that you and I need to understand about the things of the world, those things that will affect us in our spirit, in our walk with the Lord. And then Matthew, the 6th chapter, and we'll be coming back, I think, to this verse, but the 6th chapter, verse 33, it says there, very simple verse, we've all heard it, seek first the kingdom of God and his, and then I put in there too, seek righteousness. We seek God and we seek righteousness. And then what does it say? All of these things that you need, things that will bless, things that will promote his cause in me, they will be added. How many of us can look back and see where we've come from? And I'm not necessarily saying what was the pit that you were digged out of. We can do that. That can be an encouragement to us to know what we've been saved from. But I want to tell you, you need to look back and say, the Lord has brought me this far. He has provided all of these victories. That's things. So he has things to offer. The world has things to offer. So we seek those things that are above and not the things of the earth. And then in the 8th verse of that same chapter, it says, your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of even before you ask. So we have need of spiritual victories, of help in life, in our attitudes, in our conduct with our families, in our example, whether being a light, all of those things he can help us with. Besides the material things, he wants to bless us in our life, in material things as well as the spiritual things. And he knows our needs even before we ask, the scripture says. So what we need to do is to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, the scripture says. We need to let not our hearts go out after the things of the world that will affect us and draw us away. So what are the things that we need to be warned of? There are many things in the world. You know, sometimes people, they get a little nervous when you start preaching on things. I've heard it. Well, I believe the Lord wants us to be aware of some things. So back in John, 1 John 2, and we're going to look at verse 16 now. Again, we want to say what those things are. It is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are the things that we need to watch for. Going to speak just a little bit on the word lust. It automatically, and just you say the word, and I believe we all understand what that word means. The dictionary says excessive sexual appetites that seek immediate and ruthless satisfaction. But I want to tell you, you and I may not be in that kind of a place, but our flesh wants to be satisfied in some way. May not be all in the same way as the world, but we have to be on our guard for the lust of my flesh. So we know that these things, when we try to satisfy the flesh, the thoughts, the mind, the eyes, it speaks of the pride of life. We all may not see ourselves as prideful, but sometimes you can be around a person a little while and you begin to see there's pride in that person's life. And God cannot work with pride in our lives. He cannot work with us if we think we're something when we're nothing. When we recognize that we have no sufficiency of ourselves, that all of our sufficiency is of God who hath made us. That's where our trust, our eyes are upon Him, for Him to be our help in this life. But today, we are in this world, and we are compassed about. Over in Revelations, it speaks about the saints down at the end of time, that they would be compassed about with wickedness and evil. And every, I would say, one place even says every hateful thing. I see this world as in drunkenness. I see this world seeking to have their flesh satisfied all the time, every day. I see them seeking to have something before their eyes. The scripture says, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. Young people, that is the word of God. It was taught to our generation, and it was cried out against the television. Well, now you cry out against the television and you've almost missed it, because it is so much greater in other areas that are akin to television. And so you almost have to spell it out. I remember our daughter, Jan. She had an ability to act. Yeah, I said she got it from Lauren Vance, from the Busbys. But it came down, and it was 1 year before she died. And she wanted to take drama in school. Now, I'm going to tell you, to my shame, that I gave her a very shallow answer. Lauren wasn't saved, and I just confess I was pretty shallow. I wish I had been more spiritual to have given her a greater answer, but here's what I said. I said, Jan, you know, the saints don't even believe in television, and this is akin to television. What a shallow answer. I know, Mother, but I believe I can stay saved and do it 1 year. And Jan had been that kind of a young person. She would test the waters, and we could trust her, and she would maybe go into something, and then she would find she couldn't keep saved and do it, and she'd give it up. She did it over and over. So I signed for her to take drama, in school the next year. She came home every day. That was her favorite class. Edmond is a big school, and you know, you don't have the little small school influences. And her best friend was in that class, and she loved the teacher, and she was just every day just loved her drama class. And she did it for 3 weeks. She came home one day and she said, "Mother, I can't stay saved and stay in that class." And I said, "Do you want me to go to the counselor?" She says, "No, I'll take care of it myself." Do you know what? We can get close to those things of a sin of television and be tainted. And that's something that is of the world. It's of the world. We can't reason these things out and say, "Oh, this is just a good movie. Oh, this is even based on religious principles." We can't do that. It will draw us into something else. It will draw us away from the purity of the gospel. We must keep ourselves what? Unspotted from the world. Oh, I want to tell you, we need to stay strong in these kind of areas. It's that flesh that is wanting to be satisfied in something else for the moment. Oh, God, help us to have a vision. The world is drunk on movies. You think they're not? They've got cable now. You know, we have Cox for our telephone and our internet. Internet. Let me tell you, you've got to be on your guard. You can use the internet for good, but I tell you, it can damn your soul. A great danger is on the internet. The truth is, you can get television on the internet. That's the truth. My daughter and her husband gave me a tablet. And I just set it up the other day, and it's an up-to-date one. And you know what icon is on there? TV. Okay, what am I going to do with the TV on there? Am I going to say, "Nobody will know. I can just check it out"? Who will know? I'll tell you, God will know, but you'll know it too.
Yeah, that's right.
And it will come out. And it will go a little bit farther. It's best to never touch it. These things that we use, doesn't the scripture say, using this world but not abusing the things? We don't want to go too far, see? Well, we cannot excuse sin. And we cannot excuse the entertainments of the world that draws us away. And I'm telling you, I could probably be up here a long time and talk about those things. But there's many other things in the world that you and I need to be awake and alert to. And so, I'm going to talk to you about pleasures, because that is one of the definitions of lust. Pleasures. What does the scripture say about pleasures? You could take your concordance and sometime begin to study out what the word says about pleasures. I'm just going to give you a few. Scripture says that Moses, he chose to do what? He chose to suffer with the people of God rather than. He had a choice. Did you know you have a choice? God has given you and me a free will choice. We choose to serve him, or we choose to give in to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. We choose. But he said he called it the pleasures of sin for only a little while. If you take part of these kind of things, someone came to me after church last Sunday and was very burdened about a relative of theirs that is, they called it addicted to movies. And they just have to watch them over, get a new one. I said something about the cable. I will say this to the young people. When I was young, we had a television. I'm not ignorant of the draw of the television. We had it in our home. And I loved the television. I took great pleasure in the television. And my parents, it was a little portable one. And it was no bigger than that. And you know, this is terrible, but my parents, when the television became so popular, my parents said, well, we would have a television, but we'd have to have an antenna outside, and then everybody would know we had a television. What does the devil do then? He gets an invention that you don't have to have the antenna outside. You have these rabbit ears that brings in the television. So that's what we did. When people came, my parents would go hide it in the closet. Does that say something?
Yeah.
You can't hide sin. But I was a partaker of it. And they would let me move the television into my bedroom, and I would watch it until it went off at 12:30. At 12:30, it played the national anthem, and that was it. When does it go off now? Never. And if you can go to any store, McDonald's, any place to eat, you've got this box that you can rent. But Cox called me the other day. They wanted to know, we see that you don't have television on your bundle. Well, we don't have a television. You don't have a television? But you could get so many channels. We need to still cry out against television and movies and the entertainments from Hollywood. It's an idol. We determined that Sunday night, didn't we? So we know that that's... I must be going on. I told you I could get wrapped up in this. 2 Peter 2. I'm going to be looking at verses 6 through 15 ultimately. We're still wanting to talk about the spirit of the world. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit too for the sake of time. But in verse 6, it speaks about Sodom and Gomorrah. The spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah is in the world. And our children, no matter how young they are, when they are at the place of understanding, we need to make sure they understand it and what it stands for and what it means. We must not lose the vision of what that means in our society. And so this is speaking about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They turned into ashes. They were condemned with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that live ungodly. Now, basically, that's what that verse says. Sodom and Gomorrah is still in the Word of God. You can read it and find out why it was turned into ashes, why it was condemned to overthrow, and it's there for you and I today. For us to understand what's happening today, we look back at God's vision of Sodom and Gomorrah. And his vision has not changed. He still looks upon that thing as despicable and abomination. And it is unclean. And it will not change, no matter what the whole world says, no matter if they come up with transgender. We said the word. We hate to say the word, but we need to be warned of the things of the world. Verse 7 says that Lot was delivered, and he was vexed with the filthy conversation. Now I'm going to say to you and me, let's read verse 8 first. Lot was, I'm not reading it, I'm paraphrasing. Lot was dwelling among ungodly, unrighteous people. And this is what it says there. Seeing and hearing unlawful deeds every day. And it vexed his righteous soul. You and I can be in this world and get accustomed to it. We can just, we may be shocked in the beginning. Something else comes out. I've said it to Lord. I've said, I don't know if I'm going to be shocked again. And then something else happens. And here I am shocked again at the horribleness of our society and the spirits of Satan taking over in the world, affecting people, influencing people. And I want to talk about influence. We must keep our soul righteous and be vexed at the filthy conversation. I'm telling you, you can have the radio on in your car and it will come up with advertisements that I'm sick of. I tell Warren Vance, I said, I'm so tired of hearing this filthy advertisement. You're going to have to keep that vision clear. You'll begin to be influenced. Oh, well, that's just how our world is. No, I've got a righteous soul. I need to keep my soul righteous. I need to be vexed with the filthy conversation. I need my righteous soul vexed with the seeing and the hearing of unlawful deeds. That's how important it is. These are things of the world. Did you know that you and I need to see sin as exceedingly sinful? We cannot become accustomed in our ungodly world and just, well, that's just how the world has come to. No. We must still see it as exceedingly sinful, and we must not be partakers of other men's sins. And there is another scripture, and I thought of it, but I didn't take the time to look it up, but you and I must not take pleasure in other men's sins. We may not be partaking of it, and it gets very close when it comes down to our families. And we have a family member that has married another of his same gender. We still love the sinner, but we hate the sin. You must keep your heart in this. This is things of the world. The 10th verse of that same chapter speaks, and I'm just going to paraphrase again. I know time's getting away. This speaks of walking after the flesh and those that despise governments. Are we in a world where people despise governments? Don't let it affect you. They are presumptuous and self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Are we in that world? When someone is elected president that you didn't want, that you saw this or that about, what are we to do? Speak evil of that one? Let us not be a part of the world. Let us not be a part of the spirit of the world, because the word of the Lord is against it. Don't speak evil. What are we supposed to do? Aren't we supposed to pray for the leaders of our land, whether we like them or not? How do you pray? Do you ever pray, Lord, awaken them in the night when there's nothing to be in competition with your voice? Put the fear of God before them. Do you pray that way? We all need to pray for the fear of God to be before the leaders of our land, that they will make right decisions for the people. And then we need to pray, as already has been said, pray that we may be able to live a quiet and a peaceful life. We need to be praying this way. This is all of the world. Verse 12, and they speak evil of the things that they understand not. Verse 13, they shall receive the reward of the unrighteous as they take pleasure in rioting. Does that sound familiar? It sounds familiar to me. Let us not even come to the place that we hate those that do the rioting, that do the wickedness, that do the evil. We are still to love the sinner as God loves the sinner, and we are to hate the sin that they commit. Can we be balanced? We must be. And then it says, their eyes are full of adultery, beguiling unstable souls. What are they doing? They're influencing, aren't they? And they have forsaken, verse 15, they have forsaken the right way. This is the spirit of the world. Now I want to talk to you just a little bit about influence, because we are all subject to being influenced. This word has been impressed upon me this week of what is influence. The definition says it is to produce an effect on the actions and the thoughts. So there's an influence in the world. It is of the world. It is not of the Father. The Father wants to influence you and me unto righteousness, but the enemy of our soul and the wickedness of this world, the world itself, is wanting to influence you and me in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our emotions, in our beliefs, in our convictions. Is he wanting to affect you in your convictions? He is. That's of the world. He's influencing. And this word effect, listen to the definition. It says that which tends to arouse emotions. Emotions. We are affected emotionally when we hear the news, aren't we? And we go around and we begin to discuss it with one another. And we're saddened by what we hear is happening in our world. The effect that it has is over all reaction or impression by something seen and heard or done, or the outcome of those things. See, we are living in a world of media. You can open up your phones and you can get a report right now of what's happening in the world, good and bad, mostly bad, but it's there. And what do we do? Is it affecting me? Is it taking my peace? Is it disturbing my thoughts? Is it trying to draw me away? It is. It's trying to get us to not see it as exceedingly sinful. That's the purpose. And so it is of the world. So I want to talk to you in closing about the news and its effect, its influence. It is best for us. Oh, we don't want to stick our head in the sand. We don't want to be ignorant of everything that's going on. I'm not saying do that. But I'm saying you must be on your guard that it not affect you as being of the world. I have a great burden for the church to not get entangled in this thing of racism. It wants to come among the church. Yeah. It is among the church. Young people, guard your feelings of prejudice. God is not a prejudiced God. He judges sin no matter what the color or what the race. We must be the same. Don't be prejudiced against somebody because of their color. But we are in a world where if you even try, oh, this is so hard. If you try to be a friend to another of a different color, they think you're wanting something. If your color is not their color, there's prejudice everywhere. And it does not matter the race or the color. If it is sin, God will judge it. He said in his word, will not the judge of all the earth do right? If you and I get influenced by the news that is constantly bombarding the people of the United States about racism, about prejudice, carrying it to the degree that it has been carried in the last few weeks, we can get stirred up emotionally. How dare them take down those statues? Leave it with the Lord. Let God be the judge. Let him take control. Oh, let us not fall under the influence of the things of this world, of the hatred, the malice. Listen, I want to tell you something. We as the people of God should not be mixing politics with our services or with our religion, if you want to take it to that point. Politics is of the world. We may be concerned about the political realm of this country that we are a citizen of in the world. Remember, we are a pilgrim and we're a stranger and we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're going somewhere else. We're not going to live on here forever. Don't allow the politics and all that is happening to influence you and to cause you to not have the peace of God. Turn it aside. Give it to the Lord. I want to tell you, He's in control. He sets them up. He takes them down. He has the purpose. He knows what He's doing in our country. Our country is ready and ripe for judgment. The morals of our country has gone down so far. I never dreamed in my lifetime that I would see our country in the state that it is. But some of you were born in it. Were born in the very midst of this degradation and immorality. And you've got to see it for what it is to make heaven. Lord, help us. I believe that's all the Lord wants us to say. I'm very burdened that we not be influenced by the things of this world. pray for me.